Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I would say if we had to rank my confidence of in order of which players can play and make an impact tonight, it starts with Darius, then DeAndre, and then we have a little bit of space, and then Evan Mobley.
Is it because of Chris yesterday and talking about where Mobley's injury was, at least on Tuesday?
Yeah, it's also just, I mean, ankle sprains in this series. Like, Chris put it in a great way when he was with us yesterday. This series especially is hard if you have some sort of foot injury or leg injury just because of the pace Indiana likes to run at.
Yeah, no question. I would be over the moon if Darius is the only one to come back. Obviously, you want all three of them back, but I think all you're missing from game two is a healthy Darius, and I think we can not only win the game, but I think it puts us right back in the series.
So I think we really tackled the injury side of this, the health side of this earlier. But I do, like, I have two different numbers on my confidence for game three.
Okay.
There is, without any of the three, yeah, I'm 7 out of 10, I think the Cavs are going to win.
Okay, with that, it's none of them. Okay.
With any 1, 2, or 3 of them, I go to a 9 out of 10.
I hate that we have to talk about it like it's two different games. You know,
it's
such a hard, no, you're not, I'm not saying you're wrong for doing it. I'm saying it's become such a hard thing in what we do to be able to talk about it because you're talking about two different games, essentially. Like, I was reading one of the gambling previews in between the break, mm-hmm. and I was just trying to see what they were thinking, and they basically laid out, here's our gambling preview if all three play, and then here's our gambling preview if none of them play, and it's just like, it just kind of stinks that's how we have to do it, but it's how we have to do it.
Could we not get one if there were two out of the three play?
But then what are we going to have, like 7 different previews?
As many combinations as we can have? Absolutely.
It seems awful.
So I think this is the series, and I think if we kind of point back to game one, as great as Evan is, in as much as his shooting ability transforms what they want to do, he's probably the guy specific to this game that I think hurts you the least if he's not out there, just because then Kenny doesn't have to try and juggle the aspect of having the two bigs out there in the way that Indiana just exposed the two bigs at one time in that first game.
And so Kenny's highlighted that too, and I think a lot of people have made good note of that, the idea that playing them at the same time is obviously, it's become problematic against Indiana. But Nick, the Pacers are scoring at such an elite rate right now. They're the second best offense in the NBA, but in this series, they have an offensive rating, at least when certain players are on the court, like the offensive rating when Sam Merrill's on the court, is over 125. Like that's all-time offensive rating in NBA history. Like, they've been able to get what they want. So, like, Mobley, I don't even need you to score. I just need some defensive presence here.
Yeah, in that same point, though, you're just not going to put – to me, DeAndre's the guy that in this series makes a huge difference defensively.
Well, and that's because of the length that obviously Indiana offers up as well. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be
– even on the other side of the ball, his shooting, it just – you can't replace that. He's so smooth.
The problem you'd have if you don't want to play Mobley and Allen together, and if Allen's healthier than Mobley, it just sets up a different wrinkle than what we typically would be used to. Because typically, right, you'd see Mobley be the one that would get the majority of those minutes and important times, and then Allen would have to take a back seat. But you can't really do that here.
216-474-0092. How confident are you in Game 3 tonight for the Cavs? So
Mobley was the defensive player of the year.
Which means he's good at it,
which means he's good at it.
Okay, he's pretty good.
I want to make sure we highlight the defensive player of the year and how you need to have defense at some point in the series.
I think that's...
On par with Baskin's analysis from earlier today?
About how important tonight's game
is? Tonight's an important game?
Yeah. No. Yours, I think, might still be a step better than Andy's.
Because tonight is an important game, Baskin.
That is. Okay. That's a hot take. I mean, he went out on a limb when he said, tonight was a hot, it was an important game.
Say it with your chest.
But we'll see. Well, he didn't say it. I mean, he didn't say it with conviction.
No conviction there. And we've got to remind people, too, game three must win.
I don't think enough people are saying it.
Game three must win.
Yeah. And I'm not even going to stop there. I'm going to say game four is a must win.
Game five must win.
Game six. And
you throw the record books out when you get to a game seven.
But
say it with your chest.
It'll also be a must win. I don't know if enough people realize that. Game one and game two were a must win as well, though, in my opinion.
No question.
Now, I have put my numbers on it. How confident are you, with or without?
With, I'm on 11 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
I can't be any more confident than I am with them on the court. Although, can I put an asterisk attached to this?
Not really. If 11 out of 10.
If they get you, sure, I can. I can do it. Here's the thing. If Garland goes out there for 5 minutes, looks like he shouldn't be moving can't be moving and shouldn't be playing at all, and then just they immediately hit the eject button and they have to pull him out, then I think there's an asterisk attached to the 11 out of 10.
I don't know. I that's why I put it 9 out of 10.
Say it with your chest for once, will you?
I that's all I said.
9 out of 10. Say it with your chest a little bit.
9 out of 10.
Sorry, say it with your chest.
I feel very confident they're going to win this game if all three are out there.
Except for that asterisk.
If Garland's toes... Can we say toes let him down? I don't think that's a thing anyone can ever say.
I think all the other toes are fine. I think it's if one toe.
If the one toe lets him down?
Yeah, if his toe lets him down.
Then you just get 5 wasted minutes of Darius Garland, and then we're back to the same spot we were before.
Okay.
6 out of 10 in the other equation.
So 6 out of 10. Jeez, you don't believe anything.
No. 6 out of 10 is a good number.
I mean, okay, when Chris
it's not
Jimenez,
a good number?
When Chris Jimenez earlier in the show, when I was like, 1 to 10, how certain are you that this Gabe Arias is here to stay? And he said 6 out of 10. You and I both looked at each other like, wow, he said 6 out of 10.
I must have missed that look.
Oh, maybe.
It's 6, but
Mac,
it's,
was,
was
did
six,
I look at you,
was
Mac?
6 with confidence, or was 6 like, I don't believe in it?
I mean, I think 6 is firm, but I don't think it's like, whoa, 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I like living in the... firm, but not whoa territory.
Oh, so
for without.
It's just weird how you're saying one thing with your chest and with an asterisk, and then you're saying the other thing without.
I don't think it's weird at all. If the one thing is predicated on having the big three, I'm calling them their own big three now, having the big three back in the lineup as opposed to not being in the lineup. That's the importance. If anything, it's just giving respect to Garland, defensive player of the year, Evan Mobley, and DeAndre Hunter.
What if we call them the great toe trio?
Yeah, I don't love it.
Yeah, I knew it as soon as it left. There's only one person with the toe injury.
It's not, you know, if they all had toe injuries, I'm on board.
What about 2 feet and one hand? Nope. That's a different thing.
Same ballpark.
No, I don't really think so. No, I think that's a completely different ballpark.
It's no cup.
Ooh, what about just phalanges, right? Because you got a toe, you got a foot injury, and then you got a thumb injury. Metatarsals. The three metatarsals.
Yeah, really rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
It sounds like the worst.
Put that on a t-shirt.
That sounds like, if you've ever read the Bible, it sounds like the worst group of prophets.
If you've ever read the Bible.
That hurts. Yes, I actually have. I'm not like an atheist. I believe in God.
I didn't
Good
say
Lord.
You didn't.
I mean, not all of us were ordained to be priest by their...
75-year-old next-door neighbor.
They're handsy
75-year-old.
Okay.
She was not
sure
handsy.
She wasn't.
The sweetest 75-year-old next-door neighbor you ever find.
Yeah, we know how sweet she was. Was she this sweet with your siblings? I don't think so.
I was in seventh grade.
And lo, Jesus said, we must talk with the three metatarsals. See? As soon as you and I made eye contact, I bailed.
You had, I think, a 6 out of 10 in that joke. Confidence level.
No. No. We had about a 3 out of 10.
As we've established, 6 out of 10 doesn't mean what it used to, apparently.
216-474-0092. Dude, I'm excited, though. I am. Like, I think earlier in the show, I am fair to say, like, man, I just wish I knew. It's the in-between that's killing me and killing any sort of buzz I have for this game or any sort of sustained confidence.
Yeah, but be honest, and we've talked now for 2.5 hours or so. We've talked about this game now for almost 2.5 days. You're expecting a win. I'm expecting a win.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't want to speak for you, but I'm expecting a win.
Absolutely.
There's no outcome in my brain for tonight that leaves with the Cavs not getting a W this evening.
Yes, and it's not just because they need to. It's because I refuse to believe, even at what, 50%? Is that what we call
the
Cavs right now?
We just watched them win too many games in too many different ways to now think that this game tonight, when they need it the most, is going to stand in their way.
So that plus, like, guys, they're too good to not take one of these first three games.
Exactly. They're not the team to go down 3-0 to the Pacers and then have to dig out of a hole that nobody in NBA history has ever been able to dig out of.
And can I say the thing that might just be me digging myself a bigger hole? Indiana's not that good.
No, they're not. They're really not. Like, and I like that you say it that way because we all know it. We all, these people that come on, I promise you Kurt in 10 minutes is going to talk like the Pacers as if they're the 86 Celtics, okay? They're not.
We're acting like there's some great along, team, by the way.
Yeah, we act like there's some great team or something, and people have been talking about them all season long. They haven't been, and they're not.
Yeah, and listen, they're good enough to win the series. They're proving that being up 2-0, although they are much like the last year's Celtics, afforded an incredible amount of luck with the injury side of things, and you know, referees helping and whatnot. I know that's cheap because I don't really think that's why you lost Game 2, but I just wanted to be cheap for a second. But they're good enough. They may be good enough to win the series from here, but that doesn't mean they're good enough to go 3-0. Like, if the Cavs lose tonight and they're shorthanded, I'll just say, all right, it was the injuries. Is that loser mentality to me, by the way? Since I was the one that threw loser mentality out first, if tonight none of the three guys can go or play meaningful minutes.
No, it stops being loser mentality when it's just reality.
When it's half of your top six?
Yeah, like at some point we do have to acknowledge that you're not expected to win those type of games, although I still maintain I think the Cavs can. And I do think Donovan will try to play a lot like he did in Game 2, by the way.
Nick on Twitter saying, call them the extremities. Ooh, I don't hate that.
Yeah, I don't hate it either.
Yeah, and you don't have to class it like lower or upper extremities, which always has a different connotation. I like that. Also something that could be in a biblical context.
Yeah, extremities everywhere in the
Bible. But I'm not going to make that joke again. 216-474-0092. How confident are you in Game 3 tonight from the Cavaliers side of things? Kurt Heelan is going to be joining us here shortly, and we're going to talk with him about, well, Darius, DeAndre, Evan, and the Cavs' path to winning this series. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. To talk all things NBA playoffs, including Cavs, Pacers, Game 3, we head out to the North Olmsted. Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram Hotline, you know him. As lead NBA writer, managing editor at NBCSports.com, covering the NBA there, Kurt Heelan joins us now. Kurt, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I was trying to think of the appropriately risque thing to say when I came in, but nothing came to mind. Sorry.
So usually the thing that happens is if somebody says something risque to me, then I get myself in trouble. So we appreciate you keeping it on the up and up here.
Yeah, Nick's got a universal pass when it comes to risque things.
Ooh, until I don't.
He does. Yeah. He has for a very long time, Kurt. Very, very long time. I say
my wife did not give me one of those. So congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. It's truly astonishing to watch it. Work in person, and then I say the same thing, and that'll be an HR meeting, Kurt.
It's quite problematic, Kurt.
There's, you know what the perks of working remotely are? It's really hard to get in those meetings. So.
That's true. I was going to make a Toobin comment. Come on, here we are.
Kurt, they're still having the meetings. You're just not accessing them.
Yeah, exactly. They're happening behind my back now.
Kurt, if some iteration of Darius, DeAndre, and Evan can play tonight, how does it impact your expectations for Game 3?
Darius in particular hopefully can go. Look, they need the depth. I think we saw last game, as much as Donovan Mitchell can carry that load for a while, he wore down. This is playoff basketball. He's going into the teeth of a team that plays better defense than they get credit for. You can't just ask one person to do it, and you're going to need ideally, like I said, Darius back just for the handling of the, you know, ball pressure that Indiana's been putting on. I think Cleveland's the better team. You've been the better team all season. You're better balanced. And if you can just get back to that and play your game, you're not out of this, right? Like, I haven't looked at the odds lately, but like, I don't think it's a situation where you're like, man, Cleveland has no chance here. You've got to get healthy and get back to being who you were for the first 82.
Yeah, I can tell you the odds for tonight, at least, you know, 5-point favorites right now, according to our friends in the desert. Now, they're playing with the assumption that the three players we discussed will be on the court, but that's a lot of belief in a Cavs team that, let's be honest, Kurt, they should earn that benefit of the doubt after winning 64 games in the regular season.
They should, but look, man, they should also be out there tonight with an insane level of desperation. This is too good a team to go down 0-3. And nobody's come back from 0-3 in NBA history anyway, but this is really just too good a team. You can't go down that far. It's the same with Boston. You have to come out with a real sense of desperation. This is must win as it gets. And that means getting everybody on board and playing as much as they can. And somebody's going to have to step up. Some guys are going to have to step up who might not normally be relied on in that way.
Kurt, I want you to finish this sentence here. The Cavs will come back in this series and win it if
Darius Garland's healthy and can get back to being himself. I still think like his importance has really stood out in this in terms of just being a second shot creator and somebody who can hit the three consistently, who you have to respect out at that arc and then give you some spacing that isn't always there when he's not there. So I still think he is the key to making this work, especially against it's a really good team over there with a good guard tandem.
When I ask you about Donovan Mitchell, we've talked extensively about his just unending desire to win. I mean, he's playing through an injury himself and he put the team on his, basically on his shoulders last game. Is there anything that he should be doing differently for game three, or do you feel like that should be the same type of approach where he's going to have to be kind of like what he was in those playoff series in Utah, where he is, instead of what he's been this season, a distributor and passing the ball and sharing, just a complete enforcer in scoring?
This is why you have to have a Donovan Mitchell on the team, and that person has to be able to step up. You have to have somebody who can fill that role, because when you get to this point in the playoffs, when you get to the final eight, everybody's good. Nobody has kind of snuck in, backdoored themselves into this. Everybody can play, and you've got to have a guy on your team who can just go get a bucket when you need it. And frankly, you'd need a second guy who can kind of do that too, ideally. But you need at least one, or things can bog down. And I don't think this is why you have Donovan Mitchell. This is why he exists. As much as he took and deserves all the credit,
going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Taco just $2.99. comes with a big cue. This deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose.
Taco to go. Taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go. Taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go. Taco to go. Taco to go.
$2.99.
For, you know, taking a step back this year, I imagine he'll end up fifth in the MVP voting and all NBA and all that, and he deserves all the credit he's getting. He's got to be the guy who can also step up and be that guy tonight. He is going to have a big night on top of getting a little more help.
Kurt, if you gave Adam Silver the choice right now, do you think he would take the what everybody thought was the preordained Eastern Conference Finals from here, so Cavs Celtics, or do you think he would be? Do you think it benefits the NBA more to have the Knicks and Pacers end up finishing off the 1 and 2 seeds going into the Eastern Conference Finals?
It's a good question. The Knicks bring a, honestly, in terms of like marketing, Knicks or Celtics, I don't know that they're. I think they'd be happy either way. You're getting a massive market and a massive worldwide fan base and all that in both cases. So I don't know that they care too much there. I think they'd be more into Cleveland than Indiana as an option, just because not only has this team been good and has a very not that Tyrese Halliburton isn't a marketable star, but Donovan Mitchell's got a little more length of name recognition just because of everything he did in Utah and how long he's been in the league. Plus, it's a fan base with a championship. It's a fan base with a history that's a little richer in recent years than Indiana's.
Let me ask you about whether or not this is just a little bit of a different postseason and why you think that is. Because throughout NBA history, teams that go up 2-0 on the road have a 38-5 series record. But it feels like we can just kind of throw that out when we've seen road teams win all four game ones. We've seen the Celtics be the first team in the play-by-play era to blow multiple 20-point leads in the same postseason. Cavs themselves also blew a 20-point lead in game two. It feels like a 20-point lead is now like a 12-point lead, Kurt.
Yeah, but it's been that way recently, I mean, in the regular season as well, where 20-point lead used to be unassailable virtually, and it's not anymore, and that's just the variance you get with the three-point shot. You can catch up a lot more quickly if you get hot from there, or you can fall back if you're just not hitting them a lot, Boston. So it just adds a lot more variance to it. I think you do it, but it does also pave the way for comebacks, and that's certainly true in Cleveland. Frankly, I mean, Boston feels like the obvious answer there. Like, if they've been shooting 25% on 100 three-pointers through two games, if, like, that becomes 35%, this is a very different series over there. And it's the same with Cleveland. If they can consistently get them to fall, if they can get a few clutch threes, this looks very different.
Kurt, how convinced are you that the Knicks actually can finish off the Celtics, the defending champs?
Pretty convinced. What I find weird about Boston in the series is less, they went cold for a couple games from three. Guys, it's the unwillingness to adjust that's just kind of like mind-blowing, right? Like, the threes aren't going. If Cleveland's threes aren't going, Kenny Atkinson is telling Donovan Mitchell and everybody else, go get to the basket. Go get some buckets inside. Let's get this down to Jared Allen a few times. He had a great game too. Let's get some buckets inside and get the lid off this thing and start our comeback that way. They didn't really, outside of Jaylen Brown in the first game, they didn't really do that. They rely on those threes so much, and it's that end of game offense from them is just so predictable that I think the Knicks have a chance. Like, they genuinely believe in it now. If they just get a split at home and they're up 3-1, I'm just not sure these Celtics are going to win three straight and bounce back.
So how would you see the both series now at this point? Because I still tend to believe, and Vegas very much doubts what I'm about to tell you, but I still believe that what we saw going into the series will prevail. I think the Celtics still win that series. I think the Cavs still win their series. Do you see it that way?
I think the Cavs have a really good chance. They've got to do it tonight. But again, health obviously plays into this. But I think they've got a genuine chance here to come back. And that said, I'm not sure I'd put it much above 50-50, 55-60. Like, that's still a good Indiana team who now has a 2-0 advantage. Like, you've got to win 4 or 5. That's tough to do against anybody in the NBA. It's not impossible, but it's not easy. Boston, again, because of the shooting, it feels like that should flip more easily. Like, man, they're just, you know, they're going to have a good game, but the Knicks believe in themselves now. That is, don't they have a little bit of that Team of Destiny thing going on? Like, just like, it feels like they believe it. And if they believe it and they're going home, I just, as much as that is a series that could absolutely flip around, I'm just not sure I believe it personally right now, that I've kind of lost faith in that team.
Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports, in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The NBA draft lottery is in 3 days. Plenty of teams vying for the right to take Cooper Flagg or Ace Bailey. Which franchise needs to win the lottery the most?
Needs to win is, you know, it's funny. I was just writing this up. I'm going to have a thing up on the best landing spots for Cooper Flagg. And, you know, there's the obvious ones, like Houston has a outside chance. And if he landed in San Antonio, can you imagine? But put him next to Wemby and De'Aaron Fox. But of the three really horrid teams of Utah and Washington and Charlotte, I would like him to land in Utah, because while they were terrible this year, they actually have a very committed owner. They have management from Danny Ainge, somebody who's built championship teams before and knows how to do this. And they have Will Hardy, a coach that, yeah, he didn't win a lot of games this year. He just got an extension from Utah, and that's not because the owner really likes him, although the owner likes him. That's because other teams were still sniffing around his player development, including a certain one that hired in-house recently when they switched out coaches. There's a lot of interest in Will Hardy. That is, I think, an organization set up to do well long-term. So I'd rather see Cooper Flagg land there than organizations I don't trust in Washington and Charlotte.
Kurt, something that's kind of popped up over this, it's been around for a little bit now, but it's popped up over this playoffs. The two-minute report, why does the NBA do it still? Is it just transparency? I get that, but it just makes fans angry all over again.
Adam Silver wants them to for transparency reasons, but I don't see the point of it much anymore. I mean, you could release stuff the next day that said, yeah, we messed up on call X if you really wanted to. And in certain situations, the referees are pretty good about, hey, excuse me, the referees are pretty good about, like, reviewing the play after and like, man, we absolutely should have called a foul, you know, on play X. And the Knicks got that recently. But I don't know why they do, because you're right. All it does is the next day, it barely gets mentioned, and it just stirs up the fan base again. I don't see, if you're not changing anything, if you're like, hey, we screwed up, you still lose. Like, I don't know what you get out of that.
So we agree. They should have just reversed the decision, taken 2 points off the board, and given the Cavs a win. I agree, Kurt.
You'd like them to get it right in real time, wouldn't you? You'd like to see that, but, you know, you try to eliminate the screw-ups as best you can, but at some point, you just kind of live with human error. I don't know. I'm old school that way. But I'm like, I just kind of live with human error on some of this stuff, and that's the way it is. I'm curious what they're going to do. You guys know they're working with Hawkeye, which is the people who run some of their second spectrum, not second spectrum anymore, but like the technology, the player tracking technology.
Yeah, it's in tennis as well, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to start using them hopefully in the next year or two for out-of-bounds stuff, where the Hawkeye can just go call in and go, no, that went off of player X. It's a little more complicated than tennis because hands and arms are moving as opposed to those lines, which really don't. But they're looking into it. That's where they would like to go with this. So some of it can at least go out of the hands of officials, or somebody can buzz down and go, no, you got that wrong. That bounced off of X.
Kurt, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Enjoy this weekend. Enjoy Cavs Pacers game 3.
I'm looking forward to it. What's the mood there?
Oh, we're pretty excited. Yeah, a little bit of it, just because they're down 2-0, a little bit of anxiety. But I think I said 9 out of 10 confidence if at least one of three of the guys play. JP went 11 out of 10 with an asterisk.
Well, the asterisk being if Garland gets out there and then just, you know, has to remove himself after 5 minutes.
Yeah, if I just think if Garland in particular, I think, means a lot. But even if you can get Mobley, just given that second creator on the half court, man, that would help a lot. Because like you said, this is a team that you led by 20. You had that game. It's just everybody wore down. So,
Kurt, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
Take care, man.
Thank you so much. Kurt Heelan there, NBC Sports on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We will react to what he had to say about your Cleveland Cavaliers and their chances here in Game 3, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We've got the lead coming up in about 15 minutes here, where we'll take a look at all the big sports stories going on in Cleveland. I think what Kirk is saying is true. Like, this should be the most desperate we see the Cavaliers, provided they actually win in the entirety of the whole series.
Well, and at least we see it being reflective based off of what the early reports are, that all three of the guys that were injured are going to play.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be different if we both felt this way, and then it seemed like, yeah, it looks like all three aren't going to be playing no matter what. Now, we would obviously say, well, they just can't play because they're very injured.
Yeah.
But the idea that they are going to play, and they are going to play through these injuries, I mean, yeah, this is DEFCON 27 million.
And, I mean, there were moments in Game 1 where you saw Evan, after he got his foot got injured, you saw Evan hobbling up and down the court. So, we have seen desperation from the Cavs. We have seen urgency. I just think this is the one where, you know, if only one of those three guys or none of those three guys can play, there should be... I love the word desperation, because that's exactly where you are. I think what's going to be interesting, though, is even if you play the guys who two or the three or all three or one of the three, however many of the guys play tonight or don't, mm-hmm. It'll be interesting then to see, all right, how does Kenny Atkinson then leverage the bench? Because something he said after game two was, my one regret, which makes this funny.
His only regret
was maybe not going deep enough into the bench.
Yeah, if the three of them can't play, I mean, how deep do we end up going?
I mean, I just don't think there's a bad answer. Like, I think one of the things that Kenny gets, and I think this is why I actually kind of buy what he was saying, is you just never know. Maybe, I think Fedor referenced the Jairus Walker minutes, which were atrocious in game two, but you still got to go there.
No, but I did like how Fedor pushed back, because it's where my brain goes as well, where the pushback on the idea, Donovan's different because he's playing injured right now, but in the playoffs, guys can play 40 minutes. It's not crazy. I know the Pacers play quicker, but look at all these other series. Guys are playing into the 40-minute territory. You can do it. And so it wasn't even like you thought at the end of it, Atkinson should have been named Kenny Thibodeau. You know, he wasn't grinding these guys into the ground. And even at the end of it, he still felt like he could have done more for those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think more Jalen Tyson moments make sense. If for whatever reason DeAndre's limited tonight. Now, listen, I don't think we're getting to Amani Bates or to Luke Travers, but maybe Naquan Tomlin. I mean, there's another big that you could throw out there. He's looked good in small moments, even though he's incredibly raw. Honestly, even Tristan. Like, I do think, like, again, we're not talking quality minutes. What was my big beef 3 years ago with J.B. Bickerstaff is he looked down his nose at the Lamar Stevens thing, and it's like you just never know. Like, you give a guy a small amount of run and see if he's comfortable. Because comfortability masks a lot of deficiencies in the playoffs. If you can just match the intensity of the... You can kind of hide in plain sight and be quietly productive.
Well, and then that also takes, though, measuring up and finding out which players are the lights being too bright for and which ones do feel that comfortable.
Do you feel... I mean, I know where you're going to go with this. Do you feel like there's
obvious.
Anybody...
Yeah. It's obvious with Ty Jerome now. I mean, it's... Until proven otherwise.
I'll continue to go back to... I mean, the lights weren't too bright in the Miami series. So, I think he's just overexposed. I don't think he can be your... I mean, effectively, he's your point guard, even when Donovan's on the court right now. I don't think that's the... secondary point guard, third creator, then I think you have a different... Like, that to me is the Darius bump.
I mean, this with all due respect to Miami, but Miami's just not... They're not a level of a playoff team that you typically find anyway. Like as much as I trash Indiana, Indiana's a much better team than what Miami
is. Well, yeah, but for the first two games of that series, Ty had Darius. Like, I really do look at Darius' return. If Darius can play 20 or more minutes tonight, I look at it as a twofer, because I think you're going to get a better Ty Jerome because of that, too.
And hopefully you should. But what I contended before, though, and I think is true, is that because Ty was so bad in game two. It's almost anything you can get out of Darius is going to be such a positive because it's not going to be 1-for-14. And I don't say that to like throw down Ty Jerome. I say that more to uplift what I think Darius's production and what even 60, 65% of Darius can offer.
Yeah, we shouldn't be surprised by this, but do you think it was interesting that Kurt said he thinks Darius is more important to this, even more so than Evan?
I wrote it down mainly because I thought he was highlighting something that I think is going to be beneficial to Darius in the long term, that his value's never been more evident in the past two games than what it is right now. Like without him there, we've seen all that he does and what he offers up to this team in a way that I feel like when we talk about it in the summer, if they have to try to maybe make some changes or something, we're going to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't mess with Darius. We saw what happened when Darius wasn't on the court.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. We probably more than anyone, really went in and out of the conversation of Darius and wanting credit and all this, and Darius kind of being the forgotten man amongst the big three, the core four, because Darius really the truly forgotten man of the core four. But of the three highest ceiling players, Darius, I mean, it's either Evan or Donovan that gets a bulk of the credit.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of like this as a wake-up call to everybody else about just how important Darius is for all those teams that a year ago were trying to cherry-pick the Cavs, like the Spurs offering the fourth and eighth picks in a bad draft for Darius.
It stinks that absence has to make the heart grow fonder here, Nick, but it feels like that's the case here with Darius.
So, that's a really good point, by the way. Just before we wrap, like that's a really good point because there are some Cavs fans who I think the first chance to blame anybody, they go right to Darius. I don't know that that's a big majority, but I do think it's a vocal minority.
Yeah, and I feel like after this series, and depending how long this postseason goes, I feel like if anybody tries to go down that road, they'll just look like an idiot at this point.
Great stuff with Kurt Heelan there. We got plenty to get to, but Browns mini camps rolling along starting today. Cavs Pacers game three. Oh, Gardo's big series against the Phillies, and they've been winning quite a bit recently. All that and more coming up on The Lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.